Okay, so this week's parsha is going to be Vayechi, which is the end of the first of the five books of the Torah. And we have the scene of Yaakov. Jacob is blessing his kids. And they're around his bed. And it starts with... Actually, I'll do a screen share here. Show you what I'm looking at. One second here. We got this here. Yep. Okay. Boom. All right. So there's our screen. Can see it?
Yep.
Okay. Fine. So now I'm gonna just like do a quick scroll down here. So it says here that and Jacob called his sons and said, "Come together, that I might tell you what is to befall you in the days to come." Okay. "Assemble and hearken, O sons of Jacob, hearken to Israel, your father." So, as in everything, we could just spend our whole class on those two lines. The idea that you see this idea of the interplay between the name Jacob and the name Israel. That he's kind of wearing two hats. But that's not what we're not looking at that today. We're going to look at something a little different. Okay, so then it goes Reuven, Shimon and Levi. Then it talks about Judah. And then... Zevulun, Yisachar, and then it gets to Dan. It says, "Dan shall govern his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the road, a viper by the path that bites the horse's heels so that his rider is thrown backward." And then it says here, "I wait for your deliverance, O Lord. Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem." So Rashi says on this, based on the psukim, the verses that come prior to it, that this is a continuum. So that it's talking about Dan, and he's one of the tribes of Israel, and that something about this idea of being a serpent by the road, a viper by the path, and then he bites the horse's heel, so that its rider is thrown backward, and then it jumps to this very strange thing. Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem. I wait for your deliverance, O Lord. So Rashi says that it's talking about Nitna Beshi Nakru Plishtim Et Einav. It's talking about Shimshon, Samson. And that he prophesies that the Philistines would put out his eyes, meaning Samson's eyes, and that he would have to say, "Remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once." And at that point, he pushes down the pillars of this huge hall and kills 1,000 Philistines. It's very strange, very strange. Why is Yaakov, why is Jacob in his prophetic vision or blessing to his children, does he go off on this like, you know, he's talking about the tribe of Dan, and then he has this vision of Samson. And then he jumps into this line of Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem. I wait for your deliverance, O Lord. Okay? So now, this is what I want to focus on today. Okay? So there's an incredible, incredible teaching of Rabbi Moshe, the Ramchal, or Moshe Chaim Lozato. And he's better known for other writings, the Mesilat Yesharim, the Path of the Just. And also Derech Hashem, the Path of God, of Hashem, Path of Hashem, which is, they're both like monumental, studied. You go into any base medrash, any synagogue in the world, really, it's very hard not to find the Mesilas Yesharim. It's so widely looked at and learned and studied. And so this piece that we're going to do, which is just, you see here in front of you now, it's these two pages, is from one of his writings. It's not as well known, but it's most incredible. It's really like, I a friend of mine showed it to me years ago, and it's very powerful. He told me that some people have learned this, and they put it in, they take a copy of it, they put it in their pocket, and they carry it with them wherever they go, because it has that kind of powerful and very important message. And it really ties to this idea of this line, okay? This idea when Yaakov says, "Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem, I wait for your deliverance, Hashem." is the basis of this entire piece from the Ramchal. Now, the Ramchal lived in the early 1700s. He was an Italian Kabbalist, and they were unique. There was just a very interesting group that he had. He eventually ends up in Israel for 3 years, and he dies at a very young age. I think he was 39 years old. So very young. 39? Yeah, I think 39. So you're talking about someone who's taken way too early, but his writings clearly are eternal because they are very, very... Maseilas Yesharim, like they tell a story about, there's a famous singer in Israel called, his name is Yosef Karduner. And he grew up as a secular Israeli and kind of like a hipster. And someone introduced him to this book, Maseilas Yesharim. And from just reading that book, he changed his whole entire life and became observant because of this book, Maseilas Yesharim. Okay, so that's already, maybe another time we could look a little bit at that book. But here's this teaching of the Ramchal. So it's all in Hebrew. I'm going to translate. And it's very cryptic. So he's very, in this piece, a lot of it is almost like thoughts that he wrote down. He jots down. And we have to kind of open them up a little bit because it might be just one page, or 2 pages of a book, but it's got a lot going on. So I'll try to unpack it as best as possible, and hopefully by the end we'll be able to we'll have ourselves something to take home with us. So it says like this: Lishuascha kivisi, for your salvation, I hope. Now, this we're going to see in this piece that. For Lawrence's sake here, in Hebrew, the English translation does not do it justice. And so we're going to see in the piece how he explains what the idea of tikva is, right? We have the ha-tikva, right? The song of the Israeli national anthem is ha-tikva, which is the song of hope. But we're going to see that there's something much deeper to this idea of hope in the word tikva, okay? And lishuascha kivisi, because kivisi and tikva are the same, right? They're coming from the same root word. Reishis habriya b'tikva. So he explains that the beginning of the creation of the entire world is based on the idea of tikva. Okay, on hope. Well, for now we'll use the word hope, and then maybe we'll transition, maybe we'll expand it, or at least we'll use that as our easy translation. And then as we go along, we might adjust it a little bit. So the beginning of creation is based on the idea of hope. Shekol ha-tachtonim. Now, so if I just stop there, you think that God had hope, therefore he created a world. Okay, so listen to what he's saying here. Shekol ha-tachtonim mitzapim lishifat elyonim ayde tefila oshir. That all those that reside in this realm, in this world, are pining for the flow from above, and we express that pining, that desire for the above, through either prayer or song. Okay, so now what we're seeing is that the beginning of the world is based on hope that God had, but also what it's saying is that the people that reside in this world are also people who are filled with a hope, quote unquote. Now let's see what that hope really means. So he's saying here that the people below are mitzapeh. We are longing for the flow or some kind of influence that's going to come from above, from the higher realms. And we express it through prayer or through song, which is interesting. We see this idea of song as a type of prayer. As it says, Ksiv bereshit bara Elokim, and as it says, in the beginning God created, Ein reshit, you don't have a beginning unless you have tikva, ela tikva. There's got to be some kind of hope. Now listen to how he's going to go back and forth here between this idea that God has this desire and hope for the world. That's why he creates, that's why he starts the whole thing to begin with. But that there's also some kind of interplay between the upper realms and the lower realms. Ein hatzimtzum asoy ki im litzapot sheyichnos bo kav ein sof baruch hu. There's no such thing as Sana. We talk about the idea of creation. The Kabbalists explain to us that the world, before it was created, was all God. We had a state of all God, whatever that means. We can't even imagine a world without us in it, or a world that existed before us, but there was a time when there was nothing but God. And then God, in a sense, retracted, created a space for the world to exist. That's the idea of Tzimtzum. Ein HaTzimtzum Asoi Ki'im L'Tzapot Sh'Yichnas Bo Kav Ein Sof Baruch Hu. And that this idea of that space was created for the purpose that it was this desire that this Kav, this line. Now again, the Kav is this idea of Kivoy, of pining for, tekva, same shoresh, same root, which is the idea of hope. Okay, so you're starting to see, and that it's that the literal thing is a kav is a line. So the idea that God created a space in order that the space would always want to have the line of God, the endlessness of God, to come in and penetrate into that space. Mizeh kav lashon kivoy v'tshuka. And this line is this idea of the desire. Kivoy kav, a line, is the idea of hope. Because you're connected. The idea literally of hope is based on the lashon, the idea that of a line, of a connection that's there. And that line, that connection, creates this idea of a pining for. Okay, so that we have this idea that God creates the space, but that space is always pining for that there should be a line, or that line maybe, or no, that it wants the way he says it is litzapot sheyechnos bo kav in sof baruch hu, that God should re-enter that space, and that line is the basis of our kivoy, of our hope, and our longing for. So now, Bo Re'e, come and let's see. Because let's look at what creation was. What's the basis of creation? What does creation look like? Kol HaBriot Nivru B'lo Shleimut. The whole creation is a creation that's lacking. There's nothing that's complete. Shenemar Asher Bara Elokim La'asot. As it says in the creation story, God created La'asot, to do. She'yasu achar kach behemshacham hashefa lishleimutam, that they're going to do the task at hand, is that they're going to try to pull the shefa, the influence, the energy, so to speak, from God, to create a shleima, to create a completion. So how are they going to do that? So the idea of the idea here is that we're saying, is that the creation of wholeness, the way we can complete ourselves, is by connecting to God. How are we going to do that? Either with our good deeds, or with prayer, or again, he goes back to this idea of shir, of song, which I thought it's just interesting. So again, so the idea is that we're all created lacking, and we have to fill that void or that lack with a connection to God. So listen to this unbelievable thing. We talk about God, so we have to understand what it is. We don't really understand. We never really can understand God. We don't have the ability to truly understand God. So we call in the Kabbalistic writings, in the Hasidic writings, and basically all Hebrew, all the Torah writings, we talk about God as the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah means that's the presence of God, of how we experience God in this world. HaShekhinah, he says here, Yatza mitchila bilti mushlemet. God's presence in the world is like us. Just like we are created lacking, God also in our realm, in this realm, is lacking as well. That's the nature of how God enters his presence into this world. It's lacking. It needs to also be completed. So just like we, as creations of God, are lacking, the way God's presence exists in this realm is also lacking. So when you go to the creation story, okay, let's just look at that quickly, just so you get a sense of what it's referencing. Is that when you look at the creation story, we have to look at the words here, Bereshit Bara Elokim. God's name in creation is Elokim, 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 over and over again. The only name that we see of God in the creation story is that of Elokim. It's not Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, right? It's not Adonai, Aleph, Dalet, Nun. It's not as master. It's as Elokim, okay? So he explains here that why is it that name, Elokim? Because that name is lacking in some way. And so that the name that's really whole is the name of Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. I don't even pronounce it. I say Yud, Hey, Vav-Hey. We pronounce it as Adonai. That's not what it's spelled there. It's spelled Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. The reason we never pronounce that name of God, except they said it in the temple, is because when you say, if you were actually to articulate the name, you would create limitation. And the nature of the Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei name is the transcendental aspect. It's the God. It's God's aspect of not being limited. We can't really experience that name in this world. We can make reference. We call it the name. Like, you ever think about it? It's like weird. We call God the name. I mean, what does that mean, the name? It's because it's explaining this idea that God, as we experience, we can't really experience the Ein Sof, the eternal, the endlessness of God. It just can't. So that name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, if we're going to talk about any name that has more of the essence of God in it, is that name. But we see that in creation, the Ramchal is telling us, is the name Elokim is used. That name in itself is the Shechina. It's how we experience God in this world, is a name that, it expresses a certain lack. Just like we're created with a lack, the way that God introduced himself into the world as we know it is also lacking. It also has a certain finitude to it. So he says, Elokim Daika. But Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of Hashem. Ein Yira Ela. Okay, so now. So it's incredible. The Ramchal is like, he's giving us so many different things. And he's like, in one line, he's now shifting. And he's going to introduce another idea. Okay? Now, again, just remember, I'll just keep ourselves anchored. And that is that we're trying to understand this idea of Lishu'as HaKivisi Hashem, right? We're going back to this line that Yaakov and his blessing to his sons kind of throws out there. Lishu'as HaKivisi Hashem, for your salvation, Kivisi Hashem. I am, to get the English translation here, uses, for I wait for your deliverance, right? I wait for your salvation, okay? But in that salvation, or this idea of kivisi, of deliverance, it's really that I'm hoping for. I'm pining for. Okay? So now, back to the Ramchal. So he says, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of Hashem. Ein Yira Ela B'mnei Shetzarech Lo. There's no such thing as a fear. You know, they talk about unfortunately, when relationships go bad, right? You have a marriage that unfortunately ends in divorce, and you want to move on, but as long as you still have this crazy, intense anger or hatred, you still have a relationship, and you have to move on. You have to let go of those feelings. But when a person has the feeling of fear, that means that they have a connection. They're related to. They're somehow related. So when he says here, Ein Yira Elam Ebnei Mishat Sarach Lo, there's no fear. You don't fear something unless you have some type of relationship to that thing. U'misha Eino Tzarach La'acherim, but if you don't have a need for others, Eino Yari Mimenu. So like the idea of fearing God is the idea of that you have a need for, that you're connected in that way. So Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, is to understand that there is this connection. You are now connected. with God, when you have that fear or that awe. Okay, I like the word awe better than fear, because we have this, you know, a negative fear, like, oh my gosh, right here, there is like a fear of punishment and things like that. But when we talk about here the fear, it's more the awe. So the awe, again, we have a connection, he's saying. So Reishis Chachmas Hamatzil Baruch Hu, Hu Lasot Hayira, Shehu HaTikva Elyonim. So the beginning of wisdom of God is to start with the awe, and that is to have this tikva for Elyonim, is to have a pining for the upper realms, for that upper, for when we say the Elyonim, means the upper realms, the that of God. V'zeh Hashem Elokim. You know how at the end of Yom Kippur, we have this like chant, we say seven times, God, Hashem is God, Hashem is God, Hashem Hu Elokim. But what we're really doing is we're bringing together this idea of the Shekhinah, the lack there, right? That we have a presence of God that's lacking, and we then say that Hashem is Elokim. That Hashem is Elokim is that we're actually making, we call it a yichud, we're bringing together, we're unifying the two ideas. We're bringing the idea of the transcendental God and the immanent God together. Ki akol echad, it's all one. Ach, sheratza lahotzi tchila Elokim kidei lekabel me Hashem. From the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Right? So that the idea is that, so Hashem starts out a world of Elokim, of a lack, of something that needs to be filled. We also are created that way. And the idea is to create a need of and then that need creates this pining for it, that we're like literally pulling to try to get to connect to one another. Okay, so then he starts and he goes back to creation. Hadeshaim amdu al petach hakarka, v'lo yatzu achet palaleim adam arishon. In the creation story, it describes for us that you had the surface, and you had the sprouts. They were waiting to come out. They're waiting to grow, but they didn't come out until Adam was there to pray for them. So there was a need for this. We needed man to be there. We needed human beings to be there to pray, to bring out the vegetation. He goes on, Halavana mikabelet min hashemesh. The moon receives from the sun. Emet me'eret titzmach v'tzedek mishamayim nishkaf. Truth sprouts from the land, and truth and or righteousness it comes down from the heavens, or is like waiting. It's above. Hashefash nishkaf milamala. So we have this idea of the flow. God is the world is set up so that you have God and all of the goodness and all that energy that's waiting to come into this world, and it waits for the tikva. It's mamtin l'tikva shetitzmach milamata min haaretz. It's waiting for the hope and the pining to sprout from below. Tikvas emes. So what's real? What's real tikva? What's real hope? Shehu habitachon shel emes shebotrim b'hashgacha. It's the idea of when you have a person who truly believes and truly has faith in the fact that God is involved in the world. And all other v'chol shar b'tchonos b'hishtadlos, and all faith or belief in our, you know, doing things and like our activities, if we believe in those things, heim b'tchonos shel sheker. Those are really not, to have belief or faith in our abilities to do things, that's really not, it's not truth. The only thing that's truth is bitachon b'Hashem hu bitachon emet. The only thing that's really worthy of truth is that of a faith in God. Shenemar, as it says, v'yadata ki ani Hashem asher l'yervoshu kovai. You should know that I am Hashem, and that those who have hope in me, who believe in me, they will never be embarrassed. Lo ish kel v'yichazeh v'al yitmama chakelo. And v'im yitmama, if it's delayed, wait for him. V'im eino v'olam hazeh, hu l'olam haba. So he basically says this idea, this underlying idea that really we have to have this hope and this connect, like to always have this eternal hope in God, that's the only thing that's really true. And even if it's not fulfilled in this world, it's fulfilled in the next world. Tikvat aniyam tova la'ad. Zeh yi'efshar v'zeh lishu'ascha kivisi Hashem. So that the idea is that we it's a constant forever. I always, lishu'ascha kivisi Hashem, I'm always pining, I'm always hoping for God's salvation. L'zeh Hashem, the name of God, Hashem, of what we said with the camprint of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is again the transcendental aspect of God, which is really the beginning of everything. Sarah Shetia Tekva, right? So when we hope, what are we hoping for? What do we hope? Like, what are we pining for? What do we have belief in? What is that? That's God. God as the Ein Sof. God is, he doesn't say that word here, but I'll interject it, is that the Ein Sof, meaning when we talk about God's, the transcendental aspect, the God that is unlimited, the unlimited God, that's everything. That's who we pine for. Not to some other, v'lo shum kinoi, not some other thing, but so that the idea of the basis of our hopes are completely focused on God, the unlimited God. V'chol hamekavet filaso, ole b'li emtza'i, and understand that we, the one who has this hope in his prayers, can go directly to God, not any type of intermediary. Ela lishu'ascha daika, specifically to you, God, God's salvation, you, Hashem. Kamo shemadaber lenochach, lo aide shaliach. Right? It's that there's nothing. It's not. This is with clarity, without any type of intermediary. Ki hukav habokea, v'nokev. And this goes back to this idea of the line, right? Because what's kivoy? What's hope? Hope is a line. Hope is a line that connects us directly. It's a direct line. So as he like explained at the beginning, God creates the space, but that space is always pining for that line of God, the endlessness of God to come in. So too, when we reciprocate and we turn to God and we have this incredible focus on connection and pining for, it's a kav, it's a line as well, and it goes direct. There's nothing. It literally, that's why the imagery, think of a line as it pierces through. There's nothing that stands in the way. That's the power of this hope, of this kivoy, of this pining for. So now when we talk about tikva, when we talk about HaTikva, right? We had this belief, we had this hope, the eternal hope. What we're saying here is this hope is much, it's this hope of this kav, the line that goes between us and God, direct. And it, but as always, to go back to this idea from Rav Kook, he always says that we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to those who question the existence of God. And he says that they're there to remind us that the God of our minds that we create, this limited God, doesn't exist. We have an endless God. It's the God of the Ein Sof. And that's who we pine for. It's so much bigger, right? So when we talk about this, we're talking about hope, a line, a kav, but kivoy also is this idea that we pine for. And when we pine with real sincerity, so it's a kav that's bokeh. It's a kav, it's a line that literally breaks through any type of thing that can stand in the way. And we're connecting to something that's so much bigger than anybody can even imagine. So whatever we think, it's like the Baal HaTanya, he talks about the idea of the Ein Sof, that we're supposed to like meditate on God's endlessness. It's frightening, because when you start jumping, you know, going in that place, it's like it's unsettling, because it's so beyond anything that we can comprehend. They call this, in the Kabbalistic, it's the crown, it's above the head, because it's beyond our comprehension. It's something that's really bigger. But that's what we have to realize. It's there, and we can meditate on that. And when we do that, it's being able to connect to something that's so big. Okay, so this is the idea of the hope, the kivoy. Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. For your salvation, Hashem, I'm the kaveh, I'm hoping for, I'm pining for. So this is what he says. Hakivahu sod ha'itpashtot. The kivoy, this hope, this pining for, is a sod, is the secret of expansion. Kav ha'mishpat, it's the line of judgment. Masha'inkan ha'igol. So in, he says that this line, as opposed to a circle, because a circle, hudavar satum, called tzad, a circle is completely closed. But this idea of kivoy, of hope, zeh lishu'ascha kivisi la'asot kavim, we're making lines, right? We're talking about lines. We're talking about breaking through any type of things that could potentially separate. Lishu'ascha kivisi, our God, your salvation, amekaveh, I'm making lines. I'm breaking through any type of obstacles, any type of things that are going to separate us. Yudke Vavke, Hashem's name, of the transcendental, Bizman Sheyeh Hashem Shalem. We want that. What are we pining for? So we're pining to be connected, and we're also pining for that God should no longer be just the Shechina, but we want it to be that it's more than that. We want it to be we want this endlessness of God to be revealed in this world. Okay? So then he says like this. So now he's given us the premise. He's laid down, and I want you to know, the Ramchal tells us, you want to know who this person, if you're able to really get to this place where you're able to internalize the ability to hope and to connect direct to God and to be connected as a line. That's why Kav, the idea of Kivoy, of hope, is a lot, in Hebrew, is based on the idea of a line, is that you're completely connected. There's nothing separated. You're literally, boom, you're connected. So now that person who does that, he says, Hamikaveh tamid besimcha blitzar. A person who has this type of hope is always happy without any type of tsar, without any type of distress or pain or suffer. Ki hamitzta'er tamid hu biyagon vanach avechosher shein lo trufa, right? So a person who's like always miserable and they're always down, it's because they think that there's no solution, there's no hope. Aval mikaveh eino mitzta'er ki hu mikaveh tamid. But the person who has hope, who has this ability to hope, he's always, right? Vafilo, he's always in a good place. Vafilo im yitmameh, and even if it's delayed, he just waits. Nimsa hatikva mechayotar. We see that the hope is what gives him life. Umisheinu mikaveh miyad meis. But if a person loses hope, we see this the person dies. Vinishar rachok mihashem, and he's completely distant from God. Vinenash asheinu mikaveh lahashem. And not only that, a person who loses that hope, who loses this idea of connecting, so then he's punished for that. Umishehu mikaveh nemarbo. But a person who has this hope, he can be sitting in darkness, but God is his light. But the name that is used in the Pasuk, again, is going back to this name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the idea of God, the transcendental God. Hashem Daika Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem. So who are we supposed to have hope towards? We're supposed to hope towards Hashem, the endless, this all-powerful Hashem. And therefore, it's all this hope. It's all based on this hope. Hamikaveh, afal pi sheyesh lo ma'at ma'asim tovim lo yevosh. And let's say this person who has this hope is... Okay, I just lost my screen. Okay, I've got to get the screen back. All right. All right. It's back. Yeah, just give me a thumbs up. Good, thank you. Sorry. Teaches me not to move my screen around again. Okay. All right, so now. So even a person who has this proper hope, even if they're lacking in terms of their actions, Shenemar v'yadata ki hani Hashem asher lo yavoshu kovai. So it's this is where this is interesting. If you read the wiki on the Ramchal, so the Ramchal lived 100 years after certain messianic movements that went bad. Okay, so you see that there's this idea that people were on edge. That there are certain big people that today we read their books and we say we don't even think twice about it, but throughout our history, there were people that were on the edge and were sus. They always questioned whether, they were coming from the right place. You see, like, for example, even Maimonides, going back way earlier in history, they burnt his books when he wrote the Moreh Nevuchim. When you have certain people that are bringing up certain ideas, there's always this, if they're bringing new ideas or they're bringing things that might be on the fringe or they'll, we could see them getting into trouble with the establishment, as they say. So you see in the wiki they talk about the Ramchal had there were certain questions as to what he was doing, even when he was extremely, even when he's young, he's writing things that were getting him into trouble. So this line here, it's interesting. If you think about what he's giving us here, is that he's telling us all that matters is that you believe, right? Kind of sounds like some other religion, right? So it's interesting that we sometimes, because of that, will go in the other direction. So it's very important for us to understand that the Ramchal is telling us this is a bedrock of Judaism, of not other religions. We just believe that we're supposed to do things, not just believe. But here he's saying that this idea of hope is so important, so much so that even if we're lacking, the hope itself can save us. So even if a person's lacking in their actions and that they don't have enough going for them in terms of what they've actively done, it's the hope that's going to bring them up. He Hashem mitgaleh alav u'mavir kol psharim. But it's because his connectivity to God that will remove his sins. V'zeh sof ha'tikun. Migodel tikvas kol Yisrael ba'orech ha'galus v'botchem be'amuna she'igalut. But really the truth is the greatness of our hope as a people, through all the difficulties, through all the exiles, it's that hope, it's that belief that really is the underpinning that saves us. V'sof ha'tikva u'mashti et avon ha'aretz v'zeh lishu'os ha'kivisi. So now think about going back to this week's parasha. The context of this line of Lishu'ascha kivisi Hashem, for your salvation, I pine God, is Yaakov telling them about the end of days, about what will bring the end of days, right? So the end of days is brought about through our tremendous hope that we have. And the truth is if you think about it, what's the greatest kavod? What's the greatest respect and honor that we can give Hashem? Kizeu kavod hamelech shebotchem bo. The greatest honor that we give God is that we believe in Him. Bo Habakkuk v'amid al achas emuna tikva. And Habakkuk, the one of the latter prophets, he comes and he basically says it all comes down to what? To emuna, to belief. So basically, then he goes on. He goes, and I want you to know. It can even as bad as it can go so bad, you're sitting in hell. Okay, you're in Gehenna. Hamikaveh afilu nechnas begehenna yotzei. The belief, the hope that we have, the eternal hope that we have in God can pull us out even to, I mean, literally the greatest darkness, which is hell. Shenemar vekoyve Hashem yachlifu koach yalu ever. So that the idea that Hashem, that when we pine and we have hope and really an endless hope, we never stop hoping to God, and that Hashem will come, and even to the darkest place of darkness of hell, Hashem will pull us out. V'kama malachim elyonim ma'alim oto. The thing that will cleanse us is that of our tikva, of our hope. Mikvah Yisrael Mamish. What do we call a mikvah? A mikvah is where we go, right? We go to a mikvah. We're spiritually impure. We go to a mikvah. It's the same word. Mikvah, tikvah, same sharash, same root. So a person goes to the mikvah to bring themselves out of whatever darkness and spiritual impurity that might be there. It's the cleanse. It brings us back. So the idea of God is our mikvah. God Himself. We think it's the water. The water has some special ability to cleanse us, to bring us out. But really, Hashem is mikvah Yisrael. He is our mikvah, Hashem. Ki hu b'madrega yonu she'en oseh bo pgam. Im chatas ma'atefa. So the idea, a person who's mikaveh, a person who hopes, right? This is where we're able to go to Hashem and get ourselves back. And this, he says, v'zehu sod ha'tshuva shumamish shav el mekaro. And really, this is the underpinning of repentance, of to be able to return. Tshuva means to return. We're able to repent, to bring, come back, and we're able to return back to the beginning, to where we came from. Right? So mikoro means to our source. To what is our source? Where we come. We are our spiritual beings. We come from God. We have nefesh alokim imah. We have literally a piece of God in us. And whatever we go, there, and we're able to return back to the source through our hope. Because our hope is the kav. It's the kivoy, it's the line that helps us literally break through any type of obstacle to get us back to the source, which is God. And the sitra achalo yachalo. And so the negative forces they have no impact. They cannot stop. Shenem v'nemar v'shuvo Yisrael ad Hashem. We can literally go back to God. Kein hamikaveh humamish bokeah bekav tikvaso. A person who has hope, he literally breaks through the line of his hope. His hope is that line. It's almost like a spear that breaks through. V'ose nekev v'sedek la'alo tachas kisei hakavod. It makes a hole to be able to let us rise up. Nothing can stop us, and we can literally rise up directly to the throne of God. And that is, again, Lishu'ascha kivisi Hashem. Back to the line that Jacob said. Lishu'ascha, for your salvation, I am always going to be hoping for. I pine for. You, Hashem. V'zeh yachel Yisrael el Hashem, ki im Hashem ha-chesed. The idea is that we wait for Hashem, we go to Hashem, because God has the kindness, He has the chesed. Hashem, the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, where we see the name of Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, of God, the transcendental God, which is really Hashem, the Ein Sof, the Endless One. When we see that, we see the idea of chesed revealed. And nothing stands in the way. No shortcoming, nothing stands in the way of this. So just like we were supposed to have this hope during our lifetimes, so too, even when we pass and we go to the next world and there are going to be forces we have judgments against us, if we have this hope embedded within us, the hope will be able to help us break through anything that's in the obstacle, anything in the way. And in a moment, boom, it goes away. It's not that I will in the future. What I hope for in this world, the chayai, kein achar hamaves lo yavoshu hakovim. We will never have any type of embarrassment because of the hope that we have. The hope is eternal. So the hope that we have here, that we work on, that we develop in this world, will stay with us in the next world and will help us get through any type of obstacles. Bizman shad tzaddikim. And so then he goes on and he says like this. At the time when the tzaddikim, when the righteous ones are in difficult situations, it says that God is with us. Imo anochi b'tzara. Hashem is with us in our difficulties. Kaviyachol. Ubekoach hatikva yotze min hatzara. And through the power of belief, we're able to pull ourselves out of the difficulty. Why? V'hu kaviyachol yotze min. That Hashem also goes out with us from the difficulty. Just like He was with us during the difficulty, He comes out with us from the difficulty. And that's what it says when we came out of Egypt. Kamo shenemar b'mitzrayim, yatsu kol tzivos Hashem im hashchina. God went out with us from Egypt. And why? Zeh lishu'as ha-kivisi. Because of the idea that for the salvation of God, we always had hope. Lishu'as ha-mamash. Yishu'as Hashem shahaya imo b'tzara kivisi Hashem lishu'as ha. The salvation of God that was with us in the difficulty, that hope that we had, kivisi Hashem lishu'as ha. So that is what we had hope for, and that's what gave us salvation. So come and see, he says. Bo re'e. Hatzadikim malim tfilasehem la'azne ha-melech. The righteous ones, their prayers go to God's ears, to the ears of the king. Shenema re'pal el Hashem, v'yitzak el Hashem. Right? When we pray and we're in the right place, it goes right to God. We pray, we yell out, we scream, we long, we call for, it goes directly to God. Bizman sheyesh harbei mekatrim, he mafsikin ma'akvin hatfilo milalot. But when we have there, when there are the, like these forces that are going against and are trying to block us, it says there are times shenemar ba'osukosa ba'anan lecha ma'avor tfila. So there are situations we have where we're completely not, you know, focused, or we have, you know, forces that are getting in our way. So the answer is Baval Hatzadikim. But what is almost like the definition is Hamikavim Vosinativ Ubikia Batoch Ananim. The righteous ones, they're able to make holes through these clouds that are getting in the way. And he says here, "VaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayachol Yored L'Shmat Tefilasu Mipiv Shalom Mekaveh." And he says, "And God reciprocates and comes down to hear the prayer from those who have hope." So Zed, the secret here, "Kavo Kivisi Hashem VaYet Elai VaYishma Shavasi." I had hope. I like really had like incredible hope and longing for God. And God came down and he heard my prayers. And that's what it means. When Yaakov said to his sons, and he said to us, Hashem, and for your salvation, I constantly have hope. Mashani mikaveh, what I am hoping for, ani oseh shetovo yeshuascha b'shem hazeh. I'm making the Yeshua, the salvation should come with this name, this representation of God. That there should be nothing that stands in between us and God. So again, so we go back to this idea of Lishu'ascha Kivisi Hashem, is that, hold on a second. Nope, it's not what I wanted. Here we go. All right, so that this idea of When Yaakov says, Lishu'ascha kivisi Hashem, that I'm pining for you, Hashem, Yaakov is telling, you know what the secret to bringing the salvation is? This idea of this endless hope, to never stop hoping to God. Not to like some, but like, it's not just, I have hope that things are going to be good. I have hope that things are going to be good, God, that I'm like directly focusing my relationship, my focus and hope, is to Yud Kei Vav Kei, to Hashem, this endless God, the Ein Sof, right? That this, we have a God that is so awesome and so endless, and that's where I hope to, and it's never stop. I never stop. It's a, and Hashem, it might be delayed, whatever the salvation will be, I never throw in the towel, and I'm always pining for you, Hashem. And that, the idea of tikva, of hope, is based on this line, this idea of kav, a line. It's a piercing power. It literally can pierce through anything that's in the way and go directly to God. God literally will come down and hear us, and boom, direct connect. That's how powerful we have this incredible kivoy. The tikva is a line that pierces through and nothing stands in the way. So he says it could be, things could get ominous. Lishu'ascha kivisi Hashem. Lishu'ascha kivisi Hashem. For you, Hashem, your salvation, I am mekaveh. I'm making lines. I'm making direct, boom, right to you, God. And when I do that, then ultimately what happens is it's no longer Elohim, which is a deficient representation of God, but rather becomes Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Ein Sof, the Endless One, who has no limitations, right? It's this, like, we can't, again, we're so limited. And unfortunately, the constructs of God that we create are so, we project a small God, because we create these, you know, we create a definition to this. And the idea of this Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is it's endless. It's beyond time. It's beyond physical. It's so big and so endless. And that's what we're supposed to be mekaveh. When we have the hope to this big and endless and loving God, and that's what he says, when we go to that, it's a midah, we'll see the expression, when we talk about this God, it's chesed, it's kindness. And think of that, just that idea of kindness is an expression when we get to that aspect of God, of chesed. So the Ramchal is teaching us that it's two pages. It's the most important, I think, thing today, and that you can understand why someone would put this in their pocket and take it out and read it once a week or when they have difficulties, to remind ourselves, Lishu'as Chakivisi Hashem, that when Yaakov is around, surrounded by the 12 tribes at his deathbed, to tell us this, the Acharis Hayamim, the end of days, what it means is, ultimately, is that there's going to be this revelation, but that we are the ones who are, our hope is what brings that revelation, that we're going to make kavim, kivoy. Our hope is making spears. We are making lines. We're breaking through anything that's in the way to bring this direct connection. So whatever there exists, I mean, we can do a laundry list of things that get in the way, but the idea of kivoy is the thing that breaks through and gets us the direct. And then we'll have, ultimately, we'll have this light, like we just had come off of Hanukkah. We'll have that light in the darkness. A little light brings, just opens up and everything, so that when we have a true representation, we think of like what's around us in this world, there's so much smallness, and it's pervasive. So we have to combat that with the light that we bring in is the kivoy, the hope that there is a better place, that there's this Hashem that's Ein Sof, that's endless. And that we can connect, we call out, and he's there. And by that, knowing that, and having pining for that, we create lines that break through all that, and then we will see goodness. We'll see endless goodness, that if we allow ourselves to connect to that. Any questions?
Yes, sure.
Any comments?
I mean, it's a beautiful piece. I think it's very esoteric, but and at the same time, very practical, which I really like about his work in general. But I actually was wondering, from way in the beginning, how Samson is pulled into that line that we talked about.
There's a whole we could do a class on that. That might be. It's a little bit rated. It might be rated a little bit. There's a lot of sexuality that's connected to Shimshon, to Samson, but that there's something in that that connects also to Mashiach. There's a whole struggle that we have between Joseph and his brothers, and Joseph actually is the one who has, you know, if you look closely at the Midrashim, there's this issue of sexuality with Joseph. We see a lot of that going on, and a struggle that the brothers feel very uncomfortable with, and that there is in general like an overall issue of sexuality that has to be addressed, that's there. And so the question is how religion addresses sexuality. And Samson, the Midrashim talk about his being a very viral person. And that, but there's something underpinning that of what sexuality is and how it can relate to spirituality in a healthy way. And so, there is a connection there to that and Mashiach and Lishu Asra Kivisi Hashem also, but a whole nother, you know, hour of going through like the sources to really get to like understanding what that's like a whole another can of worms in a good way. It's a very interesting subject, so something we could look at another time.
So, Jonathan, Thanks for that, Shir. That was excellent. But you know, like when Ramchal says, "Oh, hope," and you have to have this hope, like it almost sounds, and like he's differentiating that from your own ability and your own talents and your own efforts to bring about change. Like almost like you should huddle in a corner and just hope, or just pray. Like I'm surprised he's not tying it into, oh, this hope is meant to give you the strength or the ability to do what you need to do.
So if you look at, if the truth is that if you just would have had this piece, and you didn't know the other writings of the Ramchal, I would say, yes, you're right. But when you go into the Mesilas Yesharim, right, so then that's something we should, it might be worthwhile, you'll see, he's a person who didn't just like, you know, to take something out of context would be wrong. So here, this is just an idea that we should have this idea of hope as our underpinning, like our guiding light, so to speak. But to say that this precludes any type of hishtadlut, of activity and effort, no. It doesn't come to the exclusion of the other. So this is really like when what's pushing you? Hope. But I got to get out there. I got to do. It's not to put yourself in the back of a room and, no. He has a whole program in Seel Yesharim about actively doing things and really like developing yourself and doing. So I think the idea here is this piece is a standalone, is to remind us, because we do get depressed or we get sad or down. The idea is to remember, Hakol B'Kivoy, everything is about having that hope. We should never stop hoping. That and hoping to who? To God. To like really connect to this incredibly big God, this endless God. And that's ultimately, there is, you know, there's something that's lacking that we need to fill, and that thing that we fill it with is with the hope or the connection to Hashem, then that relationship. That's part of what makes us whole. Is it to the exclusion of effort? No. Effort is obviously very necessary. It's like, it's the, I in Rabbeinu Bachai, in one of the earlier commentaries, he actually talks about this need to max out effort, that we don't believe that you sit back and just like let the world happen without being involved. We have to max out to the nth degree our efforts, but at the same time have a balance and realize that our successes were going to be because God blesses us with success. So, but it doesn't mean that you sit back like you just said. It's literally the opposite. You're supposed to max it out, and then understand you have to have hope, and you have to realize that you're partners with God. You know, that's kind of it.
It's a very fine line between hope and faith as well. I mean, you know, you have faith, hope.
This faith and hope together they're really like when you go through the piece. He does put them together at a certain point where he puts faith and hope almost like they're like intertwined. Right. So yeah. For sure. Yeah.
You're talking about the lines and the connections and so on, et cetera. So that, you know, to me, it's, you know, when things are tough, you have to have faith. When we're doing things, you have hope. In other words, that you're doing it with the hopes of creating certain things. And the faith is when things aren't so doing so well, or that's when you have to really turn into your faith, into really the inside and the guts of it.
Right. So
they're very much parallel things, I think.
Right. So there's that and also like they describe, But the added piece here is the Kivui LaHashem is the again this idea of longing for God and connect to God. They describe, I've heard this description of, you have a group of couples, they're at a retreat, and they all have one thing in common. They all have a child that suffers from some type of terrible disease, and they're sitting together, and they all describe that they've had an experience of sitting and feeling a tremendous wave of almost like a hug of goodness that they like from God, like almost like an embrace of comfort that they all experience at a period of of going through this horrible, painful suffering, and that when they were, I don't know, that either they're sitting somewhere, and they all had this experience of having almost like a wave of love, almost like God embracing them. So what's that? So like you're in the darkest place, and you're getting that. That's Lishuas Chakivisi Hashem. That's saying that there's something that's they literally experience what the Ramchal is describing here, that you can get connected in such a way and like embrace, like connect to God. And that's what we're talking about. The hope is coming from a place that there's something bigger that we connect to that gives us a sense that this is all good, really. We don't see the goodness. We say in this world, we only see sometimes things are good, sometimes things don't look so good. But when you get to the bigger place, you'll realize that everything is for the best. And so that when we connect to God in a way of direct like understanding of we're connecting to the bigger God, that bigger place, it's all good. And so we have, and from that we have an endless hope. It never ends because we know that it's all good. We might not be able to see it. We can't, we're limited in our ability to see things for what they really are. But that's where this hope comes from. So that's like the idea we're connecting. We always should connect to Yudke, to Hashem, the big God, the one that has this bigger picture that's at play. And that's when you connect to that, you feel this incredible power of love and goodness that's there. Because really, at the end, it's all good. We just don't experience that in the realms that we're in now. And that's where that hope comes from. We want to connect to that because we realize that there's such a bigger thing there. And in that bigger place is all this goodness. It's like this, like, wow. And so that idea of those couples sitting around and they all like they describe this in this therapy session, this incredible like wave of love. Like, where's that coming from? But they experience it because it's like when you're in that rawness, that horrible like place, you can actually tap into what we're describing here. So that's kind of what this kivui is, this idea of connecting to Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the idea of a big, that bigger endlessness of God that's like in a place of all goodness. Okay.
Great start to the day. Thanks so much.
Okay. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say hi to everybody. Good to see you.